to Hassan Jaffer's radio show. It's All in the Stars. This is the second time we're having this one, and we'll, you know, I got a lot of emails, a lot of people telling me what I should be talking about and any requests. And, but I'm just playing by the ear, we'll, as we get to know you all. For about 10, 15 minutes, we'll talk about the astro insights, about different things, about astrology, and then we'll start taking some call-ins also, should you wish to call in with your date of birth. And if you know your time of birth and place, of course, and I'll analyze it right on online, on air we'll do that. And but I also want to give some very good astro insights as well about astrology, about palmistry, about dream interpretation also. If you have any questions about that, or any controversies about astrology also, if you feel, as you know, there's so many charlatans in this aspect. You know, astrology is not like a normal profession; it's more of a calling. Like you are. You know, there are certain events in people's lives which lead them to their mission in life, or something precious denied in life which leads them. But it's something which sort of they gravitate towards it when they're searching for these answers, for the divine truth. Somebody asked me, I said, what is this divine truth that you're talking about? And to me, the divine truth is eternal. It's not like the scientific truth that keeps changing every week. It's like H2O, for example, is water in its simplest form. And for millions of years, it's been the same. And for another million years, I'm sure it'll be the same also. Or the fact that there's no concept of stillness in nature. There's nothing still in nature. Just the concept of God is eternal. But neutrons, protons buzzing around, every table, everything, for example, and the whole earth is moving. So there's nothing static in nature at all. This is part of that fundamental truth. And there are two ways of understanding that divine truth. One is a conscious awareness of truth, which is, as I said to you just now, the H2O and the you know, we're talking about there's nothing still in nature. I can say it and you can understand it. It comes into your conscious reason. You can understand it. There's another way of understanding the divine truth, which is a subconscious awareness of truth. It's a tonal quality of the voice. You go to a sermon with all kinds of beautiful prayer in your heart, but the person's voice is so irritating that you have absolutely no inspiration with that at all. So, you know, another person, for example, you are feeling very sad, and another person has a very healing voice, a soothing voice. It immediately touches you at the soul level. So that part is very, very important. That's one of the aspects. And through dreams, when you get the answers, or the color that you're wearing. Like, for example, let's say you're, a person is really angry or something. And let's say we play this tune. It's called Lysistrata. Let me just play this aspect, and you'll understand what I mean. It has a deep sort of a melodic minor scale. That has a pathos in it too. Now this is not self-pity, but pathos, which is a deep sort of a soul-like sadness. And now when the violins and cellos come in, it's like somebody just hugging you gently. It's a very sort of a healing type of energy. Now this is a Piscean energy. And unlike, for example, Aries, which is more like soul sisters or something, or, you know, and we'll deal with all the different signs and how each one of them access this aspect. So now there are certain aspects in astrology. For those of you who are interested in astrology, very little has been written about these divine truth aspects, how to access that, or what aspects are in a person's chart. But the first of all, it comes from the limbic region. It doesn't come from the neurocortical area. This absolute truth, and I've spoken to you know quite a few professors, and they also agree with me that there's a realization of truth. It comes from that limbic region, and to me, it's the domain of Pluto. It's like a cosmic consciousness. And how you access that, for example, if you have Mercury aspect to Pluto, Mercury to me, not just the communication, but your reflections, everything, your contemplation, your thinking, it comes from the Broca's region of the brain. And so the Mercury-Pluto aspect, a positive aspect of Mercury-Pluto, leads you to that divine truth, a conscious awareness of truth. Gives you a powerful analytical mind. Pluto rules the sign of Scorpio. So Mercury-Pluto gives a bit like a Scorpio, but in a positive way, without the fanatic intensity. Another means of, as I said, the subconscious of truth, by colors, what you're wearing. A person's wearing a fantastic puzzleary suit with a very strange colored tie. It'll bring out very strange, or if somebody has a Venus-Neptune aspect, the person's like an artist, or a music director, and they see something, for example, with very strange type of features and can bring out almost violence in a person. So that part, so the voice can trigger it off. If you haven't cut your nails for some time, it can trigger violence in you. It's very, very interesting. You know, I'm going to be talking about that in the long run, how these little things can affect a person. So the subconscious sense of truth is a moon-Pluto aspect. When you have aspects from between moon and Pluto, it gives the ability to influence people to understand the mood of the audience when you're giving about speeches, for example, and to penetrate the subconscious. That's why it's in the nighttime, in the evening, when everybody's sleeping, not when the shadows are there, that's when the subconscious awareness of truth comes up. You know, it's a very powerful time. And now, if you have Mercury Moon, that gives you the ability to communicate to the masses as well. And now, many times people also ask me, son, why do you talk about, you know, why should we go for prayers? And I tell them, it doesn't really matter which religion you are in. When everybody's just together, and so I'm not talking about the church, I'm talking about prayer, or I'm talking about any place of worship which brings a beggar and the king together. You have a healing congregation together, for example, that's what is a few people get together and all in the state of prayer. That part, and, you know, together, as I said, the beggar and the king can together behold the glory of an ageless faith. Any faith, it doesn't really matter, because they all go back to the original one. Because the revelations of any truth in the different religions, they merely recreate the original doctrine, which is either misinterpreted, added, and all things were taken away because of those in authority that feared it. So there was an original aspect of that divine truth, and every religion goes towards it. When Prophet Muhammad prayed on Mount Hira for the old truth to be reinstated in its original purity and simplicity, he was merely, trying to reform the decadent society, and he smashed all the fake idols, and essentially purified and defiled the mysteries. That's what we're talking about, rather than coming out with new religion all the time, because there is only one, they all lead to that same truth anyways. Now, I also want to talk about different charts. Like, I was looking at Max Heindel's chart, the one who started Rosicrucian. And at some point, we'll talk about Nostradamus' chart also, because I have some real controversial theories about that. It's very interesting, actually. Max Heindel, he's the one who published the Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception in 1909. So looking at his chart, now, he didn't start it. He started this, I think, somewhere in the 13th century or so. But he was a Leo, and he was born in New Moon, the Sun Moon, in the sign of Leo. But you had Mercury in the sign of Leo, trying to Jupiter. It gives this philosophical, broad-minded aspect, and then the preaching side. Of course, he preached a lot, of course. And the Mercury Saturn gave him the ability to finish what he started also. But he also had a Mercury-Pluto square, a white square. And when I talked about this divine truth and the ability to understand it correctly, because you can also, if you do not understand it correctly, you can actually influence people in a very wrong way as well. And a lot of the presidents of the United States, because I did the chart of all the 42 presidents or 44 for this, and a lot of them had Mercury-Pluto aspects. This is the aspect of dictators. People, like, for example, and in the United States' own chart, there's a Mercury-Pluto aspect when you try to impose your will on others by force. That's not a democracy aspect, it's like a dictatorship. Michael Manley of Jamaica was born with that, and Mao Zedong was born with this aspect, Mercury-Pluto. I met Mike Manley, actually. It's really interesting. At some point, we'll talk about him also. And Stalin was born with that. Jean Chrétien of Canada was also born with Mercury-Pluto aspect. So the Mercury-Pluto, at a conscious level, the Max Heindel made mistakes in this aspect. But having Mercury in Leo, he was so convinced that he was right. But it's interesting still that he went to astrology, he went to all kinds of things, and of course, there's only one way, and the light and the halo and all that part is all the Leo part. But I do like the sign of Leo, actually, even if they're wrong. Like Mary Baker Eddy, who started the scientific, Christian Science, she was also born with the Mercury in the sign of Leo, and many have planets in Leo, in fact, and she thought she was like a reincarnation of Christ. Thing. And now the other thing, actually, we'll leave this. By the way, you know, he had Moon in the sign of Leo, so he was from the German nobility, for example. And so we'll discuss all these things. So last time, when I started, we started talking about these all these 12 needs that I said. Let me put out there. So these 12 needs that I said, they represent, all the different signs of the zodiac. There's the 12 needs that we have. And they all correspond to the 12 signs of the zodiac. We started talking about Aries. And now there's a need to experience challenges, the physical activity, and to see the results. That's the Aries side. That's the pioneering side when you're action-oriented. The positive stimulus makes you active and initiate new projects. But if you do too much, you have hasty decisions and then you jump the gun. Now, there are simple ways to stimulate and to satisfy these 12 basic needs. The first one is to join any health club or at least go there, because, you know, because it motivates you with high energy. You'll find always a loud music or faster tempo and spontaneity when you start new short-term projects from time to time, just to see the results soon and to get into the habit of accomplishing and getting onto new challenges and seeing the results. And when it does in sports, and but not I mean, besides like golfing and billiards, I mean the real sports, for example, things which are a little bit more active, and to make you action oriented and competitive. And when you implement your ideas rather than just thinking about them, so when you get a car and take trips and make friends with those who are daring and energetic and athletic and enthusiastic and constantly involved with something new and different. Now, if you lack fire in your chart, first of all, you need to join some health club or salsa dancing or anything, but also make friends with those who have some fire planets. And at this time, by the way, if you want to call in with your date of birth and all that, we'll start taking some calls also. The second key for offsetting, for being positive in life. So the first one was a need for action. That's the Aries theme. The second one is something where you get high, when you give yourself more importance or you become so good in it, for example, the best in the world, for example, that you feel great. That's a Leo theme, and everyone is born with that. People who are depressed have very low self-esteem, or they feel really, get these real dark moods, and they need to have a certain area in your life where you have this pride, and where you get recognition. That's the area of fame also. So it's a need to experience attention, applause, and recognition, and admiration. And it makes you more confident, it boosts the ego, and gives you fame and recognition. But if you do too much of it, it can make you egocentric and bragging, and need for constant attention. Now, how to offset it? Just wear dramatic clothes from time to time, at least once a month, and attend galas where you're seen and admired, and wear designer clothes, or at least try them out at the most exclusive boutiques that you can get away with. Buy silk accessories, and use expensive perfumes, and visit high fashion boutiques. An exclusive neighborhood, like Beverly Hills Drive, for example, you're going on Rodeo Drive or Fifth Avenue, you feel different there. Or you take a limo from time to time, for example, or visit Broadway. Or when you see a live show at theaters, or when you're seeing something theatrical, like many of these circuses and all that, when you see other people also performing, and they do heroic deeds, it rubs off on you as well. And also when you go to plays, when you meet the famous people and those in the limelight, and when you meet the celebrities, that's another theme. But the Leo part, everybody has it. And ironically, it's right to the area, right next to the area where you're most critical in. And because that will be the Virgo side. So the Leo side is what makes you feel great about yourself. And everyone has it in some area. And when you feel high on yourself, you will, I don't know it in an egocentric way, you just feel great about yourself because you didn't make yourself. You see, you're praising God. Like he's a true artist. He's a creator. And you're not. Like we are, I mean, shame on you that you're not utilizing all your talents. So basically, when you are recognizing your own talents, you're recognizing that gift that nature has given you. The third aspect of that is a Sagittarius theme. Like Dale Carnegie, when he talks about positive motivation. When he said that everybody can be successful, I honestly don't agree with that, because I really find that a lot of people are born with these ingredients when they're always seeing everything like half empty. It's just an attitude. You know, they cannot change that, unfortunately. And we'll talk about palmistry at some point also, and I'll teach you some really interesting things, how you can, for example, your children. It is so important to motivate them properly and, you know, to find their talents and so they can achieve in the long run, and not just to push them to areas where they are, you know, where they're not really suited for, just to satisfy their own ego. Now, so the Sagittarius theme is a quest for knowledge, for universal truths and the universal justice and freedom. And so it makes you more broad-minded, more philosophical. Every time you interact with foreigners, foreign people, foreign cultures, it brings out that side. What you're doing right now is a Sagittarius theme. That you, like if you feel depressed, for example, you listen to this show, I guarantee you, you'll be out of your depression at least for that 1 hour. Hopefully it'll continue for a long time. But it is one of the things. Every time you travel to foreign countries, you interact with foreigners, foreign people, foreign cultures, it offsets that thing. So it makes you a positive thinker and more philosophical. You understand the reasoning behind events. If you do too much of it, it makes you like a preacher and a constant wanderer and opinion, etc.
And so now every time you take trips across the border to another country, then you are satisfying esteem. When you switch with foreigners and make foreign friends to broaden your horizons, you learn about another language and look at the sky for planets, the stars, or go to a planetarium, listen to motivation tapes, that also offers theme, or discuss philosophy and read or understand religion as a philosophy of life, and take courses and workshops on self-improvement and get involved with public speaking, and or you read about self-awareness, astrology books, etc., or visit colleges and universities. It's interesting. Every time you go there, it makes you more philosophical also. And when you speak to students and professors and preachers, that offers theme. So this is the third theme. So this is a cure for depression, and it lifts you, it makes you more positive, more confident. So the fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Very simple key to offsetting any depression. Something to do, something to be proud of, and philosophy, and travel. We'll just take a very short break here, and just about like 30 seconds or so, I'll just get some music here just to change the topic here, and then we'll start taking in calls also.
Okay, we are back, and my moon magic is ready, by the way, my book, Snakes and Astrology, in about 5 minutes. And if you'd like to call in, by the way, about any questions about astrology, palmistry, or your own chart, you're welcome to call in now. And the number to call is 1-888-268-4313, and if you call North America, it's 1-281-419-7696. Okay, we have a call on the line. Hi, you're welcome to Have Fun Show. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? Okay, what's your date of birth?
It's April 19th, 1969.
April 19th.
At 6:30 in the morning?
1969. Do you know approximately what time? Oh, in the morning, okay. Now, you're an Aries, but you see there are so many different planets involved, almost like 10 different ones. And Mercury indicates how you communicate. You have Mercury in the sign of Taurus. It's a very stable sign when you like history, when you like old things, when you like the traditional aspect. You're more like a second-in-command. You see, Aries is supposed to be a leader, but you are more like a second-in-command. You're not selfish enough to be truly your own boss. And you're also much more responsible than a normal Aries because you have Saturn very close to the sun sign. Where you are, in Aries is in love matters, relationships. The person that you'll marry will have a distinguishing mark on his eyebrows. In fact, and hopefully it'll be before marriage, before you meet him, not because you punched him or anything, but you'll have a scar on his eyebrows, and you're drawn to athletic, sporting type of men. But faith, and a very, very deep faith. Actually, this wisdom theme that I was talking about, remember I was talking about conscious awareness of truth, you're born with that actually. So in psychology and understanding people, and especially it comes out in crisis situations. Any questions you'd like to ask? Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense, actually. I've been studying a little bit. I had my chart done, through a computer service. And I guess one of the things I wondered is, with the smaller aspects, the ones that often people don't talk about, the main ones are the squares, I guess, the conjunctions and the oppositions.
Yeah.
I was wondering about some of the smaller aspects and how important they are.
Actually, no, it's very interesting because it was very difficult to calculate these things in the olden times, and that's why many people ignored it. And including myself, for example, I didn't used to take a lot of these because I know that if actually this is your personality is concerned, let's say just because of quincunx, something major wouldn't happen if a trine is not aspect, at least by transit. If the squares and conjunctions and trines are not making anything happen, so little things won't happen.
But there are certain dangerous aspects. For example, Mars, Uranus, a semi-square. Hitler had this when it was a Munich push, and right after that, for example, he was almost assassinated. There was a bomb explosion, all that. That was Mars, Uranus. Rajiv Gandhi, when he was assassinated, there was a Mars, Uranus aspect. And when Gandhi himself was also assassinated, there's another aspect of Mars, Uranus. So there are certain aspects, and nowadays, of course, it's so easy to calculate these things that we can see instantly. The reports that we give out, because in my personal interpretation, when we do the CDs for people, we tend to ignore the mind aspects. There's so much. I mean, I could write a whole book on just, a person's Mercury position, for example. So in 2 to 1.5 hour session, it's difficult to say that. But the reports that we have, I took almost like 6 months of my time to write these 6,000 paragraphs that go in it. And there, I've taken every minor aspect possible. So there, you do get this aspect. I was surprised myself to see so many different aspects in my own chart. Like, I never realized I had a Mercury-Venus aspect, and I did.
I wanted to ask you quickly just about the houses.
Okay.
And the relevance that has in people's charts. Myself, I have a lot of houses in the 12th house.
12th house, yeah.
And I know a lot of astrologers refer to this house as the house of self-undoing.
Well, the thing is, see, the main aspect is, and you're quite a passionate person, but you're also sort of a bit inhibited also. You have Venus close to Saturn, so you're much more loyal than a normal Aries. But when it's in the 12th house, it makes you like a passionate nun. So when you're that's very good for health matters, you see. So, but you're fantastic for research and digging up information, for counseling, for guiding. You'll never abandon people when they're in need. In fact, that may be one of the weaknesses for business matters. You'll need somebody else to look after your business aspect. But when you go after something so deeply, it only affects the brain to some extent. So as long as you look after your health matters and don't keep on doing research till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, many people who are involved, who work with institutions, they are also born with 12th house planets. And now, you may not like the institutions or working with, like in nursing, etc., because quite a few people who have 12th house planets, they also are nurses and researchers, and actually both criminals are born with that, or people who are into forensic science. Like in your case, if you were interested in astrology, you might have gotten into all kinds of people's charts. That part is it, because there's no difference in astrology between an actual event or your vicarious experience of it. In fact, by the way, it's interesting, the houses when you're talking about, in my moon magic, I've talked about the moon's transits also. Like you see this book, in 5 minutes, it makes an astrology because there's only one column that applies to you. So let's say the moon is in your 9th house, and after 5 minutes, you'll know exactly where the moon is in your chart. And so when the moon is in your 9th house, for example, you may not fly, but you may have a flying dream that you are flying everywhere. Or if it's in the 12th house, you get caught up in the jail, or you're dragging your feet and somebody's chasing you. All those things are 12th house themes. But people who do have a lot of 12th house planets, they do need to the fresh air and to come out. For example, they can be a bit anemic. So that's the only danger, because they do it in private so much, and they become a bit reclusive. That's the only danger of that. Now, instead of actually working in a hospital, if you're an actress, and if you play the roles of the nurse, that's the same theme, especially if you're really visualizing this aspect a lot. Does that make sense, Samantha?
Very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Hassan.
You're welcome.
Take care.
You enjoy our shows, and we talk about all the other things. And please keep calling me with your any questions, any controversial questions. I love controversy also. And I can't talk too much about the past life. I can talk about this life and the future, because it's difficult for me to, like if somebody comes to me and I say, oh, yes, you used to wear polka dot 200 years ago. I mean, who's to say? It'd be difficult. So I try to just stigmatize about this life more. And now the other need that I was talking about, the aspect of stability, the earth signs, what we call, these are the elements. These are the signs of Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. And now these are the three signs are very practical, very down to earth. So the Taurus need is a need for stability and attachment to the past and roots. Now you have to realize that everyone is born with all these 12 needs. And these 12 signs are on the 12th house cusp. If you have Leo rising, you act like a Leo, like in your personality. You may be any sign, but in your personality, you'll be more charismatic, for example. And if you have it in the 9th house, then you'll feel, as long as you don't have a Messiah complex, you certainly will feel like a hotline with God. if you have it in the seventh house, like one of my clients, for example, is Rich Jeans. You know, you may have, there used to be a real posh disco in Geneva and London and Paris and also in New York and Manhattan. And she had this flaming reddish hair. Her husband, Roger Shukran, has Aquarius rising, so he has Leo in the seventh house. And when you go to Rich Jeans, you see this big picture with all this flaming hair, and he was actually known because of her. And he said, oh yes, I'm Rich Jeans' husband. So that's a Leo theme. And he didn't mind that because he wanted, he married someone who's very dramatic and theatrical type, because his seventh house was his marriage partner's side. So the need for stability, and for example, if you're a man and you keep getting attached to these old cars and restoring old cars, that becomes a Taurus theme. Or if you're a woman, for example, and you collect all these clothes, and men can also do that, but Royal Doulton, for example, and real plates rather than paper plates, that's a Taurus theme. So it gives you stability, loyalty, dependability. We all need that in some area. When you have real estate, when you have land, it's exactly opposite to the stock market. This is the blue chip investments we're talking about. That's the Taurus theme. But if you're too cautious, you can miss an opportunity because of too much caution. Now, the way to offset this thing would be when you visit those who you find very dependable and very stable in life. For example, grandparents, older people, or those who you consider wise and having traditional, very time-tested values. And when you visit places from early childhood, you know, your early school, for example, or the earliest home that you had, and that you can remember to, you know, just to get back and, the past and your roots, and to develop a sense of solid grounding. So every time you feel that you're not grounded, visit your old, original school, and all your original dreams start surfacing also. And when you watch old movies, for example, anything which gives this tradition and culture, museums and historical places, for example, when you acquire some wooden furniture or antiques or visit antique shops and places which have old things, all that part is a Taurus energy. And I was trying to find these CDs here. I misplaced it somewhere, but it's, I've actually given all the different needs, a different beat and a different tempo and the different songs associated with it. And you'll immediately recognize that. So one of these days, maybe in our next show, we'll do that also. We'll give them the info. Now, Aries and Taurus. In Disney classics, when they talk about the hare and the tortoise, that's Aries and Taurus. It's interesting how these ancients, 5,000 years ago, how did they know about this? No. But even as a game, they could not have invented such a fantastic thing. So the Aries part is all just go and just immediately, as soon as the challenge is over, they start getting bored. That's why the school system is not made really for fire signs. And it's made for people who do their homework, who are very slow, for example. So the fire signs are action-oriented. They need, like for children, for example, they need the studies, but also they need some action. And they need to alternate between the two, so they do not get bored. And it's very important for them to do short-term projects to get a sense of accomplishment. The Taurus, on the other hand, is much more slow and steady. It's not that they are slow in intelligence, it's just that because they like to build on solid groundwork. This lady who I've just called before, actually, she had that milking the sign of Taurus. So she was actually very solid groundwork. So her knowledge is also very much, it's very trusted. And the next thing, of course, is a sign of Virgo, and I'm going to give that in just a few minutes. I'll give that, and let's just have a little piece of that. This is Tata music. A lot of people like that music. It's such a beautiful piece. I love that. Back, and our number to call is 1-888-268-4313. You're listening to Asim Jaffer's show, radio show, It's All in the Stars. And you were talking about earth signs and your need for stability, for practicality. So the stability was the Taurus theme. Then you have, when you know some craft, and that gives you, or any trade, which makes you feel more useful. That's a Virgo theme in you. It can also, of course, make you a perfectionist as well. And now, many people consider, for example, Virgo, let's say it's a very critical sign, so they say this is like a nagging aspect. I only see a potential of people. I really don't see limitations in people. Very seldom, I must say. And, for example, if you have a real critical nagging side, then you'll be fantastic as an editor, but you're paid to find defects. And or if you're in quality control, for example, so, or if you're into cleaning, for example, you'll clean underneath the thread and every little nitpicky aspect. So the Virgo aspect indicates when you're this need is a need for being useful or having you know, a craft, a trade, and order and perfection, and you know, place everything and everything in its place. It's really interesting. There's a lady here, and she has an article in the Metro here in Toronto every day, and she's into organizing, and she has six planets. I mean, I've never really seen that in more than just a stellium. Six planets in the sign of Virgo, and in the ninth house. Ninth house is preaching. That's all she preaches, all about how to organize. And she's you know, one of the best persons I've seen in that, actually. So it brings out the perfection. When the positive stimulus, it brings out the perfection in you. It makes you more methodical and organized. And so every time you make the to-do list, for example, it stimulates that side. The excessive stimulus of that is that you become nagging and being too critical and caught up in nitpicky little details and subtlety and poor me attitude, etc. Now, the simple way to offset this thing would be to learn a craft or trade. It does any useful work. And to clean up and organize your home and office or car, or you know, just make it neat and tidy and more systematic and efficient. And put up the shelving units, for example, and get rid of old magazines and clothes and books. And set up daily routines and schedules to manage your time better and balance your books, etc. And sublimate your critical faculty. That's the most important thing. And focus on preventive health. In fact, if you have Virgo planets, it's excellent for nutrition, for health, for naturopathy, for salads, for wearing cotton as opposed to silk. So this is a need. This is another need in you, and where you get in a certain order in life. The third aspect of this is a Capricorn theme. So Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn, these three signs, they bring you down to earth, and so they provide more stability. The Capricorn part is more for achievement. It's a need for achievement in you, and gives you a sense of duty and responsibilities and achievement and long-term goal setting. So it's good for long-term achievement and makes you ambitious and builds perseverance also. Like Muhammad Ali, for example, all these people who are Capricorn planets, they're a bit of a lonely ego, like Elvis Presley was born with that. And just when they're about to make it and the wife walks away, for example, and the family's not there, it's sort of a sad type of aspect that's fine with them. Now they're a bit lonely egos. They should really focus more on the... See, every time you want to understand your own sign, go for it with the opposite sign. Like Capricorn is a very business-like sign. The opposite sign is Cancer. And that, they can't ignore. They can't ignore the family, the home. And they tend to do that. Every friend becomes like a business contact. So the need for emotional security should be there. So the Capricorn theme, this need for achievement, as I said, if you do too much of it, it makes you a workaholic, and too many restrictions and obligations, and you're constantly driving everybody, for example, or helping everyone. It's not more about helping like in a sacrificing Piscean way. And that these are usually contacts. They're usually rich people you're helping rather than poor people. But now, although it's important to accept the responsibilities, this thing can really limit your personal growth if carried to an excess. So just make a list of all your long-term assets and liabilities and cut short any losses and make plans to reduce your debts. It may be tying you down and decrease your personal responsibilities, you know, by delegating work to other people and establish realistic long-term goals. So it's like Aries part of the short-term goals. With Capricorn, you have all those long-term goals. And also write down all the things that you've accomplished as far in life. It's very important if you have a lot of Capricorn planets to really write down what your goals and what your priorities are in life. It cannot be just material things. And because 100 years from now, everyone will be gone. So nothing more to life than owning six Porsches and two Cadillacs and apartment buildings, etc. So the family, home, or even long-term achievements there. But make friends with those who are self-made and financially successful to satisfy this theme. And attend trade shows. It's also, you know, every time you do something professional and the government and large corporations, etc., that's all that Capricorn thing. It may appear like boring, but it does give you long-term stability. So in terms of music, it can appear a bit dry, but like operas, like Pavarotti, etc., that's one theme of that. By the way, I just want to show you this theme, and let's see if you can guess what need would this satisfy. Thank you.
a Libra theme love story. Also, you know, when you, another thing which I'm doing is simply besides Libra, when you add some Scorpio to it, and you have other stuff that you think that, you know, love, so that part, that is this one, and never let me go. You know, there's a certain desperation there. That is that, you know, Libra combined with a Scorpio theme. Now the third one, the need, would be the need for intellectual stimulation, the need for love and sharing, a need for originality, break free from restriction, break free from the past. These are the three themes that we have. And by the way, when I'm explaining all of these, I'm going to come to compatibility maybe about next time or the week after that. And because all these themes exactly show about your temperament, about how you communicate, how you love, they apply to all of these themes. And when you feel, you know, down, for example, or your life becoming a little too boring, then you need some intellectual stimulation. That's where the air signs come in. So the need for intellectual stimulation, which is Gemini, the first one, and so it's a need to experience intellectual stimulation to keep in touch with others, to communicate. And when you do it, the positive aspect would be that it prevents boredom. It makes you think and alert, and intellectually alert, of course. It stimulates the mind and adds humor, the sense of humor, so when you read, etc., to offset that. But if you do too much of it, increase the flightiness and high nervous activity and wasting time and just talking. So the simple way to offset this would be when you go to libraries and also bookstores, of course, to intellectually stimulate your mind. And you write and receive letters from friends and exchange ideas and talk to people on the phone and email. Or, of course, when you do too much of that, of course, all the junk mail, etc., it becomes too much of that stimulus too. And subscribe to magazines and indulge in light correspondence besides business mail, for example. And attend workshops and seminars and listen to audio tapes in the car to enhance your knowledge, not like hard rock only. And watch comedies and share jokes to stimulate your humorous, lighthearted side. And take seminars to enhance your communication skills and watch TV or listen to the radio and read newspapers and magazines and take strolls and walk instead of just using the car. So that satisfies the intellectual theme, the Gemini theme, the need for intellectual stimulation. The second one, of course, is one that I was just talking about, is this love story. That part is it. So this is the Libra theme, which we call it. And the need for sharing, the need for... And you'll notice that it also has almost this similar quirk to Pisces, but it really isn't. And it starts right where it begins. Remember that love story by Ryan O'Neill and Ali McGraw. It's a beautiful movie, you know. But it did have a pathos, and the Libra and a Pisces quality about it, but it's just passing away and all. And, where do I begin to tell the story of a beautiful love story? So that is a love thing, and it's a need within you for love and sharing, for partnership, for peace and harmony, and that's what it promotes. It promotes love and the need for sharing and cooperation with others, rather than just having just my way. You'll notice it's exactly opposite to Aries. Aries' part is, let's not argue, it's just my way. Libra's theme would be, if you have Mercury in there, of course, in Libra, that it can make a person a bit indecisive because they're very good armor traders. They look at your side and the other side, snuffling back and forth, and meanwhile driving the people up the wall because they're indecision. But at the same time, they use words like maybe, perhaps. You'll never find Aries using that. Like if somebody is Mercury in Aries, it'll be very definite. They do this and do that. The Libra theme is exactly when they are willing to consider other person's viewpoints. So this one, so it stimulates, the positive stimulus will be that it stimulates your aesthetic side and increases tolerance and sense of fairness. But the excessive one will be the indecisiveness and sitting on the fence and procrastinating and being inactive. And now the way to offset this thing would be when you read fashion and interior decoration magazines. Increases sense of harmony and, you know, Architectural Digest or any of these things, for example, it really stimulates that side of you and also the coordination, etc. And visit or any, you know, fashion stores and art galleries, and especially displaying the art of the Renaissance period. You see, Neptune was in Libra during the Renaissance time, especially during the time of Leonardo da Vinci, and that the Julio Iglesias born Neptune in Libra, Taj Mahal was conceived as a monument to love. That's a Libra theme. By the way, if you do wish to call, and you can call, the number to call is 1-888-268-4313, all across North America.
You can always email to me at stargaze@astrotrends.net. Actually, if you when you go to bbsradio.com, you will see my website also. It's astrotrends.net. And now coming back to this Libra theme that I said, so develop friends with, you know, you just create this harmonious relationship and plan to be with someone rather than just being alone. Like so many people just take it for granted, just being alone. Life is so important for the companionship, to spend time with those you love and hug them and socialize and go to parties and dance and attend weddings. Whenever you go to wedding, it brings this companionship aspect and there's this longing for that also. Send roses to someone, and if you've been married, take a honeymoon with your spouse, of course. And so this is the Libra theme in your chart. By the way, right next to Libra is a Scorpio theme, and together is a classic of Disney, which is Beauty and the Beast. We have 10 minutes remaining, by the way, and if you wish to call us, the number to call is 1-888-268-4313. And if you need my, if you want Moon Magic, by the way, if you want to find out more about that, you can always go to my website, astrotrends.net, and it applies for like certain cycles. You see, the planets are moving. They keep on going up and down in different houses, and there's no calculation involved. And it takes you, for example, Saturn transits are given from mid-90s right to 2010. So you can see when is your peak, when is the low cycle. When the planets are down, it's almost as if nature is out to get you. And it's much more of a dangerous time when you have to keep a low profile. You know, when you try to make a daring, adventurous thing, for example, the planets are at the bottom, it becomes very, it becomes actually quite dangerous. When the planets are on top, and that's when you get the publicity, and you are ready for the public also. So the third theme of this need for the, well, this air sign, what we call, first one was Gemini, which is the need for intellectual stimulation. Then there was Libra, the need for harmony and peace and love and sharing. The third theme is the Aquarius theme. That's the need for originality. And best expressed by people who are Mercury in Aquarius, like Jules Verne, who wrote about Journey to the Moon way before his time. He was born Mercury in Aquarius. So is Steve Jobs of Apple Computers. And there's nothing, no product like iPod. I mean, there's no button on it. And the video and everything, for example. So it really takes you to a different world. And truth is always very simple. I mean, their ads are like $1 million or $2 million, for example, but so simple. And even, you know, when you break the tradition, the unconventional, think different. And it's a different plea, even there he has to make a difference. He is a Pisces, but he has Mercury in the sign of Aquarius. All the major inspirational things that are coming out, for example, that's all that, the Steve Jobs chart, actually. So the originality, it's a need to experience the future trends, originality and sense of community also. What you're doing right on the internet is a perfect example of Aquarius, where the people from the most criminal people to the most holy, sacred type people, they're all breathing in the same space all along. That's that Aquarius thing. And the digital technology, the high tech, and the positive stimulus that brings out your original and inventive side. And you'll notice that people who are inventive, they never follow the same route. That's why they're unconventional, they're erratic, they can be eccentric. The extreme of that would, of course, be eccentric, but they think differently. And Chopin was born with that, Mozart was born with that. And if you have too much of that, and of course the welfare of the masses, that's another theme of the Aquarius. In numerology, the number 11, you know, my good friend Marcus, for example, is very much into astrology. Sometimes I could bring him on the show also. We were discussing about this astrology and the numerology. Actually, he's very much into numerology, actually. I do have a slightly different viewpoint about it, but it's interesting. Like, we get along really well. So number 11, I found what they call the master number. It's this, it's actually ruled by Aquarius. And the description that the ancients gave for 11 and 22 was remarkably close to this astrological aspect of the humanitarian part and the Aquarius. That's Aquarius. And 22 is a Pisces number. We have a caller on the line. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, what is your name? Who am I speaking to?
Lynette.
Annette.
Yes.
Okay, hi, Annette. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Where?
Yes.
St. Catherine.
St. Catherine, okay. And what is your date of birth? I bet you
January 3rd.
Probably. What's your date of birth?
January 3rd.
Oh, it is January 3rd, yep. And which year?
1968.
1968. Eight. Okay. Do you know what time you were born, by the way?
Approximately 5:30, 5 p.m.
P.m.?
Yes.
In the afternoon, okay. The reason I'm saying, by the way, you have a slight sort of a hesitation in your voice. That's a classic aspect of Mercury in the sign of Capricorn. You must be a very dependable, hardworking person. And I'm looking at your chart. You have the same aspect as that lady who had called the first call, for example. She had Mercury in Taurus aspect to trying to Pluto. You have Mercury in Capricorn trying to Pluto. It gives that there's, in crisis situations, you are fantastic. And you have these planets in the fifth house also. Are you very close to animals or horses or anything?
Yes, I am.
But are you into management aspect? Do you look after yourself also, or what do you do?
I'm a barn manager for horses.
Oh, a barn manager. Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing, yeah. Because this seems so, I guess, because it doesn't, it's not just specific to people. Probably you're closer to these, to understanding the horses than men, probably, in your case.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's probably right.
Really, because that's Mercury Pluto, when they're in crisis, when they're in pain, I guess you must automatically feel that. And the way you just put your hand on the neck or something, but after that you can immediately feel that. It's like this silent communication. That's the Mercury Pluto theme. But it's a very nice wisdom element. Now, next year, you have a Mars-Moon conjunction, which is squared by Neptune. That's a very obsessive theme. It's also obsession. Every successful person is born with an obsessive theme, but how you offset it, of course, your free choice. But when you're prone to stress-related illnesses, when your immune system is down, so you need to be careful of your spine. And if you have a boyfriend or husband, for example, you live with somebody because you have that, there's Aquarius, Venus, and Venus and Sagittarius, I would imagine it's an independent. You're not married, right? Are you living with somebody, though?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and it's sort of an open partnership, I would imagine. Is this a foreigner or sort of philosophical type of person?
Yes.
You must be very healing type because you have a Venus-Neptune conjunction. You're always drawn to those who have some pathos or deep sadness in their life. But not into self-pity, but still aspects. It's a quite positive thing. But next summer, at 1 year from next summer, you better be a bit careful of anything with the spine. So get into a massage here, you know, and try to make him feel guilty or something. But you need that. So next summer, you'll have to be a bit more careful of any dangerous activity. So as long as you don't ride the horses next summer, you have to be a bit more careful. And
okay.
No bungee jumping or anything. I don't think you are into crazy stuff anyways, but that Mars Moon does indicate when the mother has to be extra careful of the health. See, the age catches up to us every 7 years. And that's that Saturn Moon and Saturn Mars. You'll have to, if you want to take all the pictures, you should take this year. You'll have very good pictures because next summer you might find one extra wrinkle, one little white hair. And but people tend to set themselves up for it, isn't it? Any questions you'd like to ask? Hello.
Hello. I'm listening.
Hi, Lynette. Would you like to ask any questions?
Oh, yes. Actually, well, I was just wondering about my health. But
well,
you've already answered that question.
The nervous system, which has to do with the spine, that's the most important thing in your case. You need a lot of mental relaxation. And that's one aspect of it. And the second thing is next year, you will have to be careful of that. You know, and also when you become a bit more anemic. So next summer, for about 1 year, you will have to be a bit extra careful. There are many positive things also happening at the same time. The planets are the very bottom of the chart, so you must be keeping a very low profile right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yes.
Yeah. You have very positive aspects throughout next year, by the way, as far as learning, etc., is concerned, and from foreign countries, foreign lands, even getting on the show, for example, that Jupiter touching of Mercury, and speaking to the astrologer. So as the planets are slowly moving up, the parents do need to be careful of their health throughout next year, but after that, everything starts moving up. You will slowly start moving up and becoming more and more involved with the public.
Right.
Okay, Lynette?
Okay.
Take care, my dear.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy the show.
Take care.
Okay, coming back to the... We only have about, 5 minutes left, and I'm just going to finish this. The Aquarius thing that I was talking about, and if you want to visit our website, it's astrotrends.net, astrotrends.net. You're welcome to send me an email at stargaze@astrotrends.net. And... our telephone number, everything is on the site, and if you want to see any of our products, etc., the things I've mentioned is the Moon Magic and my reports, actually. Do you have another caller here?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Apple Show. Who am I talking to?
Matina.
Hi, Tina. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Do you like the show?
I love the show.
Oh, thank you. What part
Sorry,
do you like?
I don't have a very good connection, though. Can you hear me okay?
You don't have a very good connection? Is it better now?
Sorry, hello?
Hello, hi. Where are you calling from?
Toronto.
I see, okay. What is your date of birth?
February 27th, 1971.
February 27th, 1971?
Yes.
1971. Your milk is on a Pisces. That's a real healing aspect, you know, but you're very psychic. You're very vulnerable also.
Can you hear me?
A little bit.
Okay.
One second, let me try.
You're very, very sensitive, by the way. You have both Sun and Mercury and Sun of Pisces. Edgar Cayce, the famous psychic, he was also born with Mercury and Pisces. But you also have this wild imagination, and you're almost a bit schizophrenic, you know, when you cannot separate truth from fantasy. You'd be a much better grandmother than a mother. Because you're great at that also. Your in love matters, the last 2.5 years were definitely not very good. But next summer is fantastic. Like July, August, September, and October of next year is excellent for you.
Okay.
But you're quite versatile. You're very good in counseling, guiding, helping people. I'm sorry, we don't have too much time. Do you have any questions?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What's that?
Do you have any questions?
No, actually, that was great. Thank you.
Okay, because next summer is excellent as far as relationship, et cetera, is concerned in your chart. Now, I just want to finish this, the last theme that I said, because we only have about 3 minutes here. And so the need for originality, as we talked about, and so this is an Aquarius theme, the need for, you know, to experience future trends. Whenever you go to sign centers, et cetera, you'll find this. And besides any of these sign centers, also, you know, when you listen to Chopin's music, or actually the space age music, I should say, Chopin is more Piscean theme, actually. And also to stimulate your inventive side, anything which does that. So watch space age movies, for example, and go to computer shows, or stereo shops and familiarize yourself with the new digital equipment, the high tech, go on the internet and become involved in social work or community affairs. That also, you know, becomes more of this Aquarius theme. And go to places where you can watch, even if it's like the snowflakes, for example, as opposed to, see, Leo is more like the sunlight. Whereas, the Aquarius theme is more like the reflection of the moon. It's totally, you know, different, like a scintillating quality about it. The digital technology, the internet, the emails and, cell phones, for example, and latest gadgets, for example, that stimulates this Aquarius. At least have a look at it. I mean, go to Future Shop or Best Buy or any of these places which have, all the electronic equipment and computers and other space-age gadgets. And the office, or when you go to computer shows or graphic shows, also that offers a theme. We have 1 more minute, and I just want to leave with some closing thoughts on this. In our next show, we'll talk about compatibility, about different signs, and we'll take calls about your signs, about your husband, about your mistress, about your wife, and hopefully it's about relationships, the positive ones. We'll talk about that. And we might talk about certain aspects of Mercury, aspects in your chart in astrology, like Mercury, Saturn, etc. And please keep your emails going at stargaze@astrotrends.net. And our archives will be ready by tonight, probably, or by tomorrow. So if you've missed any show, you can always go to my website. You can also go on the bbsradio.com, and you'll be able to see the archives. You'll be able to see the whole show. And I wish you all the best and good luck. This is Hassan Jaffer. I wish you all the best. Actually, we are back. I thought we had finished, but we have about 1 more minute left. So I'll just play the music. Till next time, this is Hassan Jaffer.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.